The first lesson is recorded in the book of Job, chapter 38, beginning at the first verse. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me, if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, 'This far you may come and no farther, here is where your proud waves halt.'" This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, beginning at the first verse. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, "In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine, yet regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and open wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak to my children. Open wide your hearts also. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to Saint Mark. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. What a glorious day. Today is Father's Day. And I want to thank all of the fathers and the grandfathers and the men who have taken on that role. And so let's show them our appreciation right now with a round of applause. Thank you, fathers. You know, a teacher asked a small boy one time if he knew what Father's Day was all about. And the boy thought for a minute, and he said, "Well, I think it's like Mother's Day with cheaper presents." Like Mother's Day, Father's Day is the day in our country that we celebrate and recognize fathers. And we should do that more often, not just one day a year for fathers and mothers. Following God's commandments, it's fitting that we honor our fathers and our mothers. In Exodus 20, we see the commandment, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord is giving you." It's a commandment with a promise. I mean, how many times have you seen people not honor their parents and it didn't go very well for them? But I'm not talking about that this morning, although there is a tie-in, as you'll see. You see, we have a great Father. We have God Almighty, our Father in heaven. And He, like all fathers are supposed to, teach us lessons. He teaches His lesson to us from His Word. And as an example of that, we have our first lesson from Job. In Job, we find another man, a father, who God was attempting to teach a lesson and also proving a point to Satan. Now, most of us, if not all of us, know the book of Job. We've heard the story before. Job was a father. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was very wealthy. He had many sheep. Thousands of sheep, thousands of camels and oxen and donkeys. And the scripture tells us that he was also blameless and upright. But God the Father had a lesson for Job to learn. What would Job do, or what would Job say, if all of that was taken away? If his wealth was gone, if his family was gone, if his health was gone, what would Job do? Now, God had every confidence in Job, but of course, Satan was betting against him. So God allowed Job to be tested with different storms that came into his life, some literal, some figurative. Now, when you read Job, be careful to note that it was not God, but Satan that brought on the calamities, the storms that Job suffered. And so in our first lesson today, the setting is that Job is sitting in the midst of the rubble of his life. You know, he's sitting there scraping his skin from the boils that had come up on his skin with the shards of pottery that from his broken house. And he was sitting there feeling sorry for himself. And he had a lot to feel sorry for. You know, his whole life was turned upside down. He had lost just about everything he had. And he had a lot prior to this reversal of fortune. And he was sitting there wondering, how could he come to such a low state of life? He'd lost everything except his wife and a few friends. And at times they were even part of the storm. So Job sat there, miserable, and he was trying to figure out why God would let all this happen to him. His friends came along and they pontificated that, you know, maybe God was punishing him, they said. Maybe he should just repent and God would relent on him, they said. But mostly they had no real answers. Even his wife came to him at one point And she said, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. But Job was steadfast. He answered her. He said, you're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And then a friend of his, a younger man, came along, Elihu. And he came to him, and his advice was somewhat on the right track. He said that God is in control and that Job needed to have faith in God, that God had a purpose for his suffering. So instead of just trying to justify himself about why he shouldn't have to go through what he was going through, perhaps Job should have faith that God knows what he's doing. And so in our first lesson today, we see a portion of the response that God had to Job. If Job couldn't even understand the basics of creation, how could he possibly understand God's mind or question God's character? God was teaching Job to fully trust in Him, even if Job didn't understand why he was going through what he was going through. It's kind of like God said to us through Isaiah chapter 55. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know what? We all go through storms in life. So, let's talk about storms a little bit. Some storms that come on us are like squalls. They act for a short time, but they bring us a lot of anxiety while they're on us. Squalls could be like your car breaking down at the most inopportune time, and you having no money to fix it. Or maybe it's a fight with your spouse or your child, and it causes relationship problems. Other storms might be like full-blown hurricanes. They have they last a longer time, but they have a potential to do a lot of damage. Maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe it's a divorce. And then there's other storms that are like tornadoes. They last for a short period of time, but they can really rip us apart. And they can have long-term consequences. Something like a tornado storm might be a sudden death of a loved one, or maybe the diagnosis of a serious long-term illness. How do you deal with the storms that come upon you? Well, how we deal with those storms tells God, and it tells us how much we trust Him. Sure, God wants all of us to know about Him. He wants people to believe in Him. But much more than that, God wants us to know Him. Job knew about God before the storm, but after the storm, he knew God. Job knew that it was more important to know God than it was to know why he was going through the storms of his life. You know, we human beings have a propensity to want to know the answers about why we're suffering. Why are we going through this? You know, there has to be a reason that we should be able to understand. But sometimes, like Job, this propensity that we have to want to know why we're suffering the way we're suffering turns into an obsession. And it can even help doubt creep in. Why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? Is God punishing me? Why isn't God answering my prayer to get me out of the storm? And if we have a lot of that going on, it can degenerate into doubts about God Himself. You know, is there a God after all? I mean, how often have we seen really horrendous things happen, like maybe what happened in Charleston with those shootings, or maybe 9/11 or some things like that? And how often have you heard people say, you know, how can there be a loving God who would allow something like that to happen? We've heard those people. It goes against our nature not to be able to rationalize the storms in life. We must be able to understand and explain storms, right? Well, our lesson today tells us who's in charge. God. You see, Job, he wanted out of the storm, or at least to know why he was in the storm to begin with. And I think it's significant that our lesson starts off by God speaking to Job out of the storm so that he could impart some knowledge to Job. God said, "Were you there when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off the dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched out a measuring line across it? Or on what were its footings set? Or who laid out the cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy?" Here's an undeniably true statement. Storms will happen in our lives. Contrary to what we might want today, this ain't heaven. We may or may not know why the storms come upon us. We obviously want to get out of the storms, but we may not know why we're in them in the first place. In this test of Job, Satan wanted to use Job's frustration to have him give up on God so that he could go to God and say, "See, he's not so upright after all." But that didn't happen. Job was steadfast in his faith and his trust in God. And although he was flawed, Job withstood the test, withstood the storm, and was eventually restored to an even greater position than he was before. In the last book of Job, we read this: "The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And so Job died an old man full of years." Well, let's look at our gospel lesson today. Now, in our gospel lesson, we also see a storm, a literal storm. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Do you think the disciples passed the test? I don't think so. I mean, I can only imagine how afraid they must have been. Some of you may have been out on the sea, and you know that the wind can be terrifying, the waves can be terrifying. And so real fear had gripped them, and they were afraid for their very lives. Now, it's easy for us to sit back here on a nice day in a nice place and say, "They had the Son of God with them. Did they really think that he was going to let them drown?" They didn't seem to have very much trust, did they? And it's easy for us to be critical because we're sitting here and we know the outcome. But how many times have we been in those situations where we've been afraid, where those storms have come upon us, maybe even to the point we didn't know if we were going to live? How many times have we been in the same position? We want to get out of it, right? We want God to get us out of it. We don't know why this is happening to us, and we don't know why He won't get us out of the storm. But we've got to remember, God allows us to go through storms for righteous purposes. God wants to speak to us out of the storm too. Maybe our faith is waning a little bit and He wants to strengthen it. Maybe we've been a little bit too self-sufficient, even to the point of not needing Him so much. God has chosen us to be His people. He wants to strengthen our faith in Him. He wants us to rely on Him instead of our own merits. Maybe He wants to take us on a deeper walk with Him and away from the material things, the destructive things of this life that so easily could weigh us down and pull us down. You know, Satan would like nothing better than for us to go away from God and His love for us. He wants us to turn our backs on God or disregard Him. He wants to destroy our relationship that we have with God. That's what He was trying to do with Job. And Satan wants to kill us also for eternity. We may not know why we're going through. We don't like it when God puts us through storms, do we? It's not pleasant. You know, sometimes in this service we sing the Refiner's Fire. Some of you may remember that. What is the Refiner's Fire? It's a very, very hot fire that takes metal and purifies it and makes it stronger. Storms can strengthen us and purify us too. We can use storms in our lives to strengthen and purify our relationship with God. How do we do that? When the storms come upon us, we can seek His protection. We can seek His forgiveness through prayer. We can seek His guidance to us through His holy word. We can seek wise counsel from other fellow Christians who maybe have gone through the same thing we've gone through. Here's another undeniable truth. Regardless of the storms that come into our lives, God is faithful to us. He will provide our strength. He will provide our endurance. He will not give us more than He knows that we can take, although sometimes we sure think He does. But in the end, if we have faith in Him, we become stronger. We become closer to Him. You know, as James said in his letter, he said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything." So the question is, do you trust God to know what you're going through when the storms hit your life? It's all a matter of trust. Let's get basic. Do you believe in God? Do you believe there is a God? Do you believe that God loves you? If so, do you believe that He loved you so much that He sent His only Son to die and on a cross so that He can take away all of your sin? If so, do you think He loves you in every situation that you're going through in this life? Do you think that He has your best interest at heart? Do you think you have to know every reason why He allows storms to come into your life? Or can you just trust Him? You know, we all can be like Job ended up being. Job said this after the storm. He said, "But God knows the way I take. When He has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed His steps. I have kept to His ways without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of His lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Quite a testament to faith. So, do you trust God despite the storms that are in your life? That's the question. What's your answer? Amen.